City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
Happy Monday. Let's get this work week off to a positive start. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Make sure to smash that like button and share the stream. It always helps out with the algorithm. I know that's kind of a nebulous term, the algorithm, but it does help. Smashing the like button and sharing the stream helps out with the show, helps out getting the word out about these kids and student athletes and coaches and teams and all that good stuff. So I would encourage you to do that. As coming up towards the bottom of the hour, we're talking some Aberdeen Central tennis, put the season to bed of the 2025 tennis team, as head coach Trent Kurtz will be joining us live in studio to recap the season that was. We'll certainly recap a lot of Brown County Speedway from this last weekend, as well as the Aberdeen Smitties back in action and the SDHSAA Class AA, A and B track and field meets that were, of course, the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this last week down south in Sioux Falls. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure, the Cobra. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting by.
There you go.
I'm not under the weather, just not feeling great. I don't know. It's weird. I just don't feel like myself.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, hopefully better by Friday, though.
Yeah, we got a big day Friday.
We're
going to need you.
We do. We have a bit of a programming note. No show on Friday because we're going to be gone golfing. You remember the old gone fishing signs?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be gone golfing. We've got the Northern State football event, and I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think we got a pretty good foursome. I think we do. I think we got a guy that was literally on the show on Friday saying, hey, we could use a fourth. We literally did that live on the air, and he's a go-go, so
there you go.
So are we.
Awesome. Yeah. Having him in studio was awesome there Friday. New guy to the area and looking forward. I mean, he's a pretty good golfer, so I think we got ourselves a good chance there Friday. I'm not saying we're going to win, you know. But you got to have that competitive juice, right?
We're not going to embarrass ourselves, that's for sure. If nothing else, he'll be there to save us. And I told Doc, who's going to be on our team, he goes, oh, good, I don't need my driver then. So I kind of thought the exact same thing. So that'll be a good foursome there. Cobra, yours truly, Doc Sebastian, and Isaac Morgan. And keep an eye out for us there on Friday, and specifically when myself and probably to a lesser degree, Matt is on the tee. Keep an eye out for us because you just never know where it's going to go. When Doc's on the tee, when Isaac's on the tee, I think we'll be just fine. But probably to the most extent, me. When I'm on the tee, it could be a little dicey.
Hey, just getting out there is going to be fun for you.
I haven't swung a golf club since, I don't know, July, August of last year, something like that.
Could be in your favor, they say. You know, sometimes the first time out could help you out.
Remember last year? It was the first time I was out, and I was actually hitting bombs.
Yeah, you had a couple crazy drives. I remember the one you had on four. It went down the hill. You were like up the hill. I was like, geez, man, you almost hit that 300 yards.
I know. I've had Every blind squirrel finds a nut. Every blind squirrel finds a nut, and we'll see how that all plays out on Friday. So I'm very much indeed looking forward to that. I know Northern State Football Nation is as well, so should be a lot of fun there at Lee Park. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Of course, we call him none other than the Cobra. And let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on FSA. And I thought to myself, seeing as how we're talking some golf, I got to toss this out there as well. No shock, Scottie Scheffler does it again. He was a winner there yesterday, won another event there yesterday. And obviously he's in the zone. He's had an incredible start to this year. But he's also had a really good month of May. Very good month of May, as a matter of fact. He has 3 wins in the month of May in 4 tournaments played. That's pretty impressive to win 3 of the 4 tournaments that you play in. Now, to put that into perspective, the Colorado Rockies also only have 3 wins in the month of May.
Yeah, he's just been on an absolute heater. He's always in the mix. I said that a couple weeks ago. He's just lurking wherever he is on the leaderboard. And if he can get hot, what's something that's so special about him early on? He's got the intimidation factor going for him as well. I think when you get to the weekend, you're playing with him, you don't play as well. And B, when he has the lead, he's able to keep the lead. A lot of guys struggle with that on tour, especially in the major tournaments. Like, hey, we got 18 holes left. You see Rory, he struggled even to win the Masters, what he was doing there. Scotty just doesn't do that. Scott's special, man. He's one of my favorite players, and he did it again there over the weekend. The second place was minus 6. He's incredible. It's never like a one-stroke win with this guy. He's always carrying away at the end of the thing. It's funny.
It's usually a very comfortable win, to your point. I think he finished 10 under yesterday. Next closest was 6 under, I think. Is that what it was, 10 to 6?
Yeah, 10 to 6. And then last week, the Charles Schwab Challenge, there he is at 8 under. That's 4. He didn't win it, but he finished in 4th.
Yeah.
It's just like, what?
He's on a whole new level right now. By the way, for what it's worth, that's 3 wins and 4 tournaments played. For the Rockies, that's 3 wins and 28 games played. Win percentage of 10% to 75%. I think I'll take Scotty.
I saw a funny stat, too, about the Rockies. It was like wins since September 2024. Mm-hmm. Broncos 10. Oh. Rockies 10.
No, man.
Bad.
That's bad.
And same, I think I saw a stat, too, that the Nuggets, since March 28th, which was opening day, they had 11 wins. Rockies 10. It's about a historically terrible start.
And they haven't played in like 2 weeks. Talk about the Nuggets. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Truly not to be believed. By the way, for what it's worth, here we are, June the 2nd. It's time for bold prediction.
Okay.
It's time for bold prediction. Do the Rockies overtake the White Sox for the worst record in MLB history?
I think so. They got nothing going on, like zero. It's a historically bad start. I think they're going to be right there. I think the bold prediction is yes, from what I've been seeing.
Certainly trending that way. No two ways about it. And by the way, Scottie Scheffler, congratulations to him not only with the win, but also he is a new dad, or newer anyway, within the last year and a half or so. And Meredith handed off his younger son Bennett to him afterwards. And, just because you're a dad and just because you're a champion doesn't mean your dad duties are over, as he had a bit of a blowout going up his back there. So he has to go right into dad duties after that victory.
Yeah, his wife handed him his son, and it's kind of funny. That's like resurfaced now, which is just random because the PGA Championship, or was it yesterday?
I think this one's from yesterday.
Oh, that one's from yesterday. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like, hey, you finish 18, everybody's golf clapping for you, congratulations. Dad duty. I've dealt with them the last 4 hours when you were on the course. Now it's your turn.
Yep, exactly. I know it all too well. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. So congratulations to him and his wife and their kiddos there too. Also of note, I wanted to toss this out there on Friday, but we just kind of ran out of time. But the Minnesota Vikings, they have re-signed their general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, to a multi-year contract extension. Deal was signed on Thursday night. Vikings are 34-17 with 2 playoff trips since KOC and A and Kwesi, we'll go KAM. We'll go with that. They have now arrived. Now both are signed for years to come, and I think that's one thing that you got to get right as any franchise, regardless of sport. You got to get your head coach right. You got to get your GM right. And the Vikings certainly have that. They got a really good head coach. They got a really good general manager. Now it just comes down to executing come playoff time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I saw that, and I said, hey, that's a good re-sign. Just bringing him in. You mentioned the record and what they've been able to do. Last year was a special year with that team. Yes, they lost in the first round and didn't reach the expectation maybe, but you had Sam Darnold, who you didn't think was going to be the start at the beginning of the season, and you won 14 games.
Yeah.
And you didn't even finish first in your division. You would have been in first in every single division except for the division you played in because of how good Detroit was. That was a really special year last year. It's a shame they didn't go farther in the postseason. But those two, or especially that GM, they both deserve that extension. Those guys are the best in the league right now as far as I'm concerned from a standpoint of, yes, they haven't won the big one, but from a talent standpoint, bringing up guys within the system and free agents, they've done one heck of a job, that's for sure.
And obviously, you don't want to see it. I don't want to see it because we're not necessarily fans of the Vikings. But, you know, we'd like to see their success, certainly. It's time for them to delete the yeah, but from their resumes. Yeah, they're really, really good. Yeah, but they always kind of struggle in January. Yeah, they're really, really good. Yeah, but they can never win the big one. It's time to delete the yeah, but from the resume.
No doubt about it, and that starts this season.
Yeah.
Like, you had that little going in the first couple of years when O'Connell had some success. Yeah, but, and now it's time to yeah, and.
Yes.
And that's the big thing. I agree with that, too, because you're 100% right.
Also of note, this is something that's, I'm sure, quite near and dear to you and your heart, that the NBA on TNT no longer. That, of course, was put to bed here this last weekend as the Pacers ousted the New York Knickerbockers. That was a great run. 1989 to the year 2025. That's a really, really good run of the NBA on TNT. Now, that group of Shaq, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, and Ernie Johnson, they're going to be going over to ESPN now. But part of me says it's not going to be the same. We'll have to wait and see, but rest in peace to the NBA on TNT.
Well, that's a good point, too, because it might not be the same, and I'm just such a fan of that show. I mean, there'd be a doubleheader on Thursday that I didn't even care about, and I would just throw the TV on because I knew those guys were on. And, yeah, I was a little bit upset about it. You know, I'm like, oh, this show, it's just not going to be the same. And you mentioned that they're going to ESPN. I'll be interested to see because ESPN's pre and halftime coverage, it's not great as far as I'm concerned. It's like they show a highlight and then go right to commercial. Like, you got to let these guys talk. You got to let the show. That's why the show is great, because they have time dedicated pre, post, and the halftime as well. I mean, them racing to the board, that's like one of the most popular things. Like, you can't take that away. You can't go to break after a minute. Like, you got to have to let the show breathe a little bit. I'll be interested to see. But, yeah, man, rest in peace to the NBA on TNT. It was a great run, and I'm glad those guys are sticking around. We'll just have to see what happens.
By the way, speaking of the NBA on TNT, I'll be curious to see what happens to Kevin Harlan. You know, broadcasting is such a subjective thing. Some people like others. Some people don't like others. I think objectively, though, Kevin Harlan has got to be on the Mount Rushmore of play-by-play guys, be it radio or TV, and I'll be curious to see what he does going forward now, because you've got the NBA going back to NBC as well as on ESPN. So the two major networks leaves him kind of out in the cold, if you will.
And
right?
What we do know is Mike Tirico's doing NBC.
Who's also great.
He's great. I'm glad he's coming back to basketball. Does he go to Amazon? And do those games, because the NBA and Amazon have a deal.
Is that right?
So he might, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes there. I hope he continues to do the NBA. He's great. He's the best they got in the NBA.
I would watch and listen to Kevin Harlan read the phone book. I mean, seriously, the guy is the best. He is so good, and he could do anything, and I'd be all in.
I came across, since like the NBA on TNT ended, I came across last year, remember the Wolves and the Nuggets were playing in the finals, and Jamal Murray hit that three-quarters court shot.
Sure, yeah.
And him and Jamal Murray are, like, staring down, and he's, like, in his face, like, doing the call. It was awesome. I came across that this morning, and I hope he still does games. He's the best out there.
Yeah, kind of staring eyeball to eyeball. Like, that is so good. And Kevin Harlan is so good, and what's he going to do? I mean, maybe he just goes back and does NFL games on CBS. He also does Westwood One Radio as well for Monday Night Football games as well, so... He's a busy guy. Maybe his workload is going to get a little bit lighter. We'll have to wait and see, but I'll be curious to see what the NBA looks like from the TV perspective in the not-too-distant future. We'll see. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk some Brown County Speedway from this last weekend. The Aberdeen Smitties are back in action here tonight, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. They return home to battle the Groton Post 39 squad. It is a single 9-inning affair. It's not a doubleheader. They're not playing two. And this was a game originally slated for a matchup in Groton, and they actually said, we're going to play this game right here at Fossum Field. So, little FYI, if you got the early season schedule, that's not necessarily accurate. That's a home game tonight at Fossum Field at 6 o'clock. Ryan Martin provides the play-by-play via HubCityRadio.com. Weather permitting, of course, they're talking about a 50% chance for showers. So, a knock on wood, we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But we'll talk about that and much more coming up next on the Sports Up. Sports Up continues on FSA. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, some Aberdeen Central tennis talk as Trent Kurtz will be joining us live in studio to put the 2025 season to bed there for the Golden Eagles with some solid results this last week. That, of course, was at the AA State Tournament. Speaking of solid results, we'll talk about that from the AA, the single A, and the B side of things for the high school track and field action from this last weekend. If you want to get a jump start on that discussion, check out our website, hubcityradio.com. Brown County Speedway from this last Friday night. Finally, we got some action over there, and I could hear it from my backyard. It was perfect that we got this in on Friday, not on Saturday or Sunday because of all the smoke and what have you. By the way, Canada, figure it out.
It was bad.
It was real bad.
Saturday, I actually went to Cechi Hollow to do a hike.
Oh, sure.
For the first time this summer. I get out, you know, maybe once or twice during the summer to do that. And
beautiful area.
Yeah, it's great. I had a lot. It was a good time. Not the biggest hiking person, but I do like that trail. But I left at like 9:30, just full of smoke. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? It was bad. And then it finally started to clear up. I felt like, you know, I was in the trees and stuff, so I didn't notice it as much. But when I first got in my car in the morning on Saturday, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, probably took your shirt off and it was like an ashtray or something like that. My goodness. Yeah, my wife and I, we went to church on Saturday night, and I was just like, brutal. Not ideal. But hopefully some of that rain, if it is in the mix, will kind of knock down some of that smoke, and that can just kind of get filtered out. But, yeah, hopefully that's not a thing too much going forward here this summertime. Again, Brown County Speedway, it was gorgeous there on Friday night. Temperatures were in the, I think, low 70s or upper 70s, just a picture-perfect night for that. And some really, really good racing as well. Lots of movement there going on, particularly in the Wasota late models. You had Mike Stearns of Aberdeen start in ninth place. He would finish in victory lane. In the Wasota Midwest mods, Todd Stark of Watertown started in sixth. He would take the checkered flag there, too. Wasota Modifieds, our guy Kent Arment of the Hub City started in fourth. He would finish in first place. Mike Stearns in second, starting in seventh there. Wasota Superstocks, you had Stuart Shipke of Aberdeen start in fifth place. He would finish in victory lane. Mark Ablin of Groton finished in third. He began in 14th. And Damon Hoftizer of Fort Pierce started in 15th place. He finished in 5th. So lots of really good action there in the Wasota Late Models, Midwest Mods, Modifieds, and Superstocks. And Jaden Bogue of Huron won the Street Stocks there, too. So a lot of movement there and just a picture-perfect night to be out at Brown County Speedway.
Yeah, to your point, I heard it from my apartment building there. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, just an electric atmosphere, just being able to get back. You know, we talked to Rusty. I talked to Rusty on Friday. He's like, I swear if it rains, I swear. Because I was looking outside, it just had that hazy feel. He's like, we need to get out there. And you mentioned just how the guys that didn't start in first. I mean, racing is literally the definition of it isn't how you start, it's how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. We talked to racers throughout the summer, last summer, and just kind of getting their mindset on that. And we saw some really good racing there yesterday at the Brown County, or not yesterday, Friday. At the Brown County Speedway.
I just find it crazy to me, and it just shows how seasoned and grizzled some of these guys are, and gals for that matter. They really couldn't care less where they start. You know, if you were me, or if I were me, which I am, but not a seasoned veteran on the racetrack, I would think, all right, I'd like to start in first or second or third, you know, pretty close to the front. A lot of times these guys, and gals too, they're like, nah, you put me wherever you want to put me, and that's where I'm going to go, and I'm going to do my best to finish in first place. They really couldn't care less where they start.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You'd think that, hey, I'd rather be in the top three positions, but it just doesn't work that way. I guess it's if I can last longer on this track, you know, I got a chance at the end. It's kind of cool.
It is. So looking forward to that coming up again this Friday. And my parents are actually coming into town this weekend. They keep on asking me, what's the weather going to look like? What's the weather going to look like? Well, it's still, you know, 5 days away. But as it looks right now, a 30% chance for precip, otherwise sunny and 75. Little Joe Nichols for us there on Friday. So hopefully that 30 ticks down to 20, down to 10, and says sayonara. So, you know, we don't want to have our golf game either.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So looking forward to that this upcoming Friday at Brown County Speedway. As for the Aberdeen Smitties, they were back in action on Friday, taking on the Post 320 Stars of Rapid City. And they had a tough go about it there in Game 1, a lot more competitive in Game 2, as they fell 14-2 in Game 1. Stars put up 8 runs in the bottom of that first inning, and then Game 2, a lot more competitive. Smitties did fall, though, 10-6. And we kind of talked about this on Friday's installment of the Sports Hub. If the Smitties can just get out of that first inning, keep it competitive, whether you're up 1-0 or down 1-0, you don't have to set the world on fire in the first inning, but you just can't keep playing uphill like this. It was 12-0 after the first three outs against Watertown in the season opener. You're down 8 to, you know, you're down 8. I think the Smitties put up 1 or 2 in the top of the first inning in that first game. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you surrendered 8 runs in the top of the or the bottom of the first. It's so hard to keep going upstream like that.
Yeah, I think the thing is engaged in the game. You got 2 games ahead of you,
yeah,
and that's how you start one of the games. I think it's just difficult to stay engaged in that, and they're getting better at it from a whole. But if they can get out of the first inning, you know, if that's an Aberdeen Chrysler Center key to their season moving forward, that's got to be it, because they can hit. You know, we've seen opportunities where they've put up 5-6 runs, but when on the flip side, if you give up 12, it's difficult to stack up W's.
I would say almost impossible.
Yeah,
almost impossible. When you give up an 8 spot in any inning for that matter, mm-hmm. but especially in the first inning, just psychologically you're already kind of defeated. But you know, I will tell you that, and head coach Nathan Ganelli said as much, they're still playing a little bit undermanned right now. They had a couple guys that weren't a part of the program because of high school track and field and whatnot. Getting those bodies back and getting a full club together, that'll certainly help them.
Yeah,
going
I think
forward.
They need some more arms too. You know, Jordan Foss, obviously a guy that runs track there for Central or does some events there. He's one of their better arms. He hasn't been there in the lineup. You mentioned it, a couple other guys. If they can get a full team and I think get more arms, because right now you're trying to pick your spots to pitch your best guys. I mean, it's difficult when you got so many games in just a short span, and that's where they're at right now. They played, what, 6 games in the last couple of days. They got a game here tonight as well. Like, who are you pitching? That's a question, and that's why Coach Ganelli, he's got his kind of hands tied a little bit, because he's trying to find out, hey, who can pitch, and we need some guys coming back, and hopefully as the summer moves along, those guys do come back.
Yeah, you've got that's a really good way to describe it. It's like, well, what do I do? You know, I've got reduced numbers, and we've got some guys out there that are struggling a little bit on the mound, and you just can't get out of that first inning without a big goose egg on the board, or not a goose egg, but a big crooked number, as it were. So get out of that first inning. You talk about keys to the game. That'll certainly be one there tonight for the Smitties. You know, if you can get down 0-0, or maybe you're up 1-0, or something like that going into the third or fourth or fifth inning. Again, it's just a single 9-inning affair here tonight. You feel pretty good. But then, again, to that point, they also led 3-0 on, was it Thursday night? Cooper Eisenbeis was pitching a darn near gem, and he got out of a bases-loaded one-out jam there. I think it was in the fifth or the sixth inning, and they just couldn't quite get enough to muster that victory. They were up 3-0. It's like those are the games where 3 needs to become 5, 5 needs to become 7, get a little extra insurance.
No doubt about it. I was just going to mention that word, insurance. Insurance runs, especially at this level, are key. That way you can kind of, you have a little bit more to work with when you're down 3-0. I mean, 3-0, yes, teams can come back from
it's like the 2-0 of hockey.
Yeah, I, you know, it kind of is. 3-0 is very similar to that, I think, in my opinion. Like 3-0, it's not, you got a little bit of a cushion, but it can change in a hurry. That's a good one, too, because I like that.
All right, put it up on the big board. All right, upcoming next on the show, we're going to talk some high school tennis action from the season that was. And again, that's with Ryan Martin on the call tonight over on HubCityRadio.com. 6 o'clock tonight as Groton Post 39, they roll into town at Fossum Field against the Aberdeen Smitties, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. Looking forward to that broadcast over on HubCityRadio.com as well as the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. Make sure to smash that like button on that as well. Upcoming next, some high school tennis action talk with head coach Trent Kurtz. He'll be joining us live in studio after the break. We're back on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, and Trent Kurtz, head coach of the Aberdeen Central Tennis Squad, joining us here. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. It's our pleasure for sure. And you are now replenished. You've got some water here in studio. I was going to say you're a busy man. You're running around all over the place, and this is what we do here at Hub City Radio. We roll up the red carpet for our guests, and I even open up the water for you.
I like it. Appreciate it. Because I was going to swing by and get one sometime or somewhere, and I didn't have time to stop before I got here. So I like it.
That's what we're here for. Absolutely. Well, the season officially now in the rearview mirror. You guys finished 8th out of 14 squads there down south in Sioux Falls for the Class AA tournament. Was that kind of where you expected to be? I mean, obviously some things needed to shake out a certain way to finish in the top 5 and what have you, and some of those things didn't happen. But overall, collectively, what was your kind of 2 cents on the day?
Yeah, it was a good tournament for us. Yeah. It was 8 was like on paper right where we probably should have been. All the teams above us kind of beat us in duels throughout the year, and we beat all the teams below us. So, but we played really well. We had chances. We were one match away from, I don't even, like 6th and 7th tied for 6th, Mitchell and Brandon. We were like one match away from passing those guys, so we were close to 6. So had a good tournament, probably a better state tournament than we did at ESD. We kind of finished in the same spot, behind the same teams, ahead of the same teams, but at ESD we're kind of like holding off teams like Watertown from behind us in that second day, and didn't really have a chance to catch the teams in front of us. And then state, we were right on the heels of the teams in front of us and had a pretty big gap from the teams behind us. So overall, pretty good day. We had some matches we could have scored some points that didn't go our way, but battled through some sickness and played pretty well overall.
They certainly did, Coach, and some individuals that really stepped up. I mean, looking here, A.J. Prane, consolation championship, he got there, lost it, but got there. Gustavo Carrera, we've been talking a lot about him, just what he's been able to do. Those individuals really played well, especially in the state tournament, right, at the end of the year.
Yeah, those two, they kind of carried us all year long. You know, they were at our awards night after the season or right before state tournament. They were voted as our co-MVPs, so they were the two we kind of counted on all year long, and they scored the most points at ESD, at state, all that. AJ was one that really battled sickness at state tournament. I felt bad for him being a five-year varsity guy. He was with Roncalli as an eighth grader, then 4 years with us, so he's kind of been our leader here for a few years, and he was really sick those 2 days and just battled. I know he would have liked a couple matches back, but he really competed. And then Gustavo, great tournament for him. He got better and better as the year went on. So he was a foreign exchange kid this year.
Okay.
Hadn't played tennis in like 5 years. He's from Brazil, and he was tennis courts were 45 minutes away from his house. So he kind of hadn't played for like 5 years. So at the beginning of the year, he wasn't great. He didn't have a racket. He was just kind of average. He had never played in wind before. So in South Dakota, that's all we play in. So that was probably his biggest adjustment, was the wind. He'd also never played on hard court. He played on clay courts in Brazil. So once he got used to kind of that and just got back in rhythm, he just got better and better as the year went on. And third place at state's a really good accomplishment.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. Trent Kurtz joining us live in studio on FSA. Great start for him. He started off 2-0 on that first day. And, of course, like you mentioned, they're finishing in third place. Can you kind of unpack the differences between clay court and what you guys play with here? We had Gannon May in studio, and Gannon was like, I don't know what you would call the surface that you guys play on. Is it sport court? Is there like a certain term, or it's just it's the tennis courts?
Just hard court, yeah, hard court. So, like, if you look at professional, you know, two of the four majors are on hard court. You got the U.S. Open, the Australian Open. Clay court, the French Open that's going on right now, is on clay. And there's green clay and red clay. I've seen green clay before. I've never seen red clay. That's like what the French Open's on. That's what Gustavo grew up playing on. Completely different. Obviously, the movement's different. There's some sliding and stuff that you can't really do on the hard court without tumbling. But the balls go a lot slower. Balls bounce higher and go slower. So you get a lot long rallies. Rallies are a lot longer on the clay court. So, like, for me, it's not like the French Open's my least favorite tennis major to watch, just because the points and matches take forever. I like the kind of faster action of grass and hard court, but that's the biggest difference, just a lot slower on the clay.
Plus, you probably knew who was going to win there, the French Open, because more times than not, it was
Nadal.
Every
year, yeah.
I saw a stat, he won 90% of his matches on clay. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Is there anything in South Dakota that has, or any place, I guess, more accurately, that has clay, or are we all just strictly grass and
I've never seen grass. We're pretty much all hard. Indoor facility, like our indoor facility here is carpet, but as far as clay, the country club down in Sioux Falls used to have one. That's where I've seen one. I don't know if they still do or not, but that's the only place I've seen a clay court was the country club in Sioux Falls.
I want to talk more about Gustavo. I mean, you mentioned, like, didn't really have a racket, was trying to get used to the playing court, wins, things of that. He goes from that to finishing where he did at the state tournament. I mean, was it just little by little you saw him get better? I mean, that's a big improvement.
It was. After about the first month, like I said, the wind was the biggest issue for him. He really struggled and would just get frustrated with how his ball would react in the wind, and it took him a long time to figure out what to do with that. After about a month, it kind of clicked for him, and then you knew, like, yeah, he's pretty good. And you could tell right away that he had a good understanding of the game. So we put him at one doubles just because you could tell he knew how to play doubles. He's played a lot of doubles in the past. So, and then once his game kind of rounded into form, he was dangerous. He was really good.
So last time we had you on the program, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, something like that, we were talking about scoring, and it was, you know, first to 10, and sometimes you're playing sets, you know, the first to 6, you got to win by 2, that sort of thing. Looks like everything was sets here down in Sioux Falls. Is that standard for the state tournaments, or do they kind of come to the players and the coaches and they all get together on how to figure out the scoring?
It's standard down there. As long as we're outdoors. If we're outdoors, we're playing sets, 2 out of 3 sets, until the consolation. So once you lose, then it becomes a 10-game pro set. Now if we go indoors, usually they change that. They just play a 10-game pro set. And then in consolation, that goes to an 8-game pro set, just to kind of speed things up. Now the Class A tournament did go indoors, and they kept it with sets, and it still ran pretty smoothly. But they have a few less teams than us. Plus, Sioux Falls just built 4 new indoor courts. So they've got a really nice facility down there with 10 indoor courts. So they were able to kind of make it run smooth. So it's pretty typical then. So it stays if it's outdoors. If it goes indoors, it usually shortens up. But depending on the tournament coordinator, they can change that.
Do you like it that way, the way they kind of ran things?
Yeah, I like all the coaches always want to play, you know, the longest match possible. Yeah. The longer the match, usually you get the kid who should win kind of usually ends up winning. Obviously, there's always upsets, but upsets happen a lot more frequently the shorter the match. So,
can you talk a little bit about just the mindset from a standpoint of, hey, I might lose whatever, and then you got to kind of flush that and have to play again? I mean, that could be pretty difficult, right? You know, from a standpoint, hey, I'm playing in the semifinals, I lose, and now I'm in the consolation. Is it like a 20-minute break? Or how does that kind of work with all that?
Depends on kind of where we are in the tournament. The second day, so like when Gustavo lost in the semis, there they pretty much they played a match, had a match off, so they had a good hour. But it's a good question because we talked about that all the time. I think handling adversity is probably like the toughest thing for a high school athlete to do. You just have a lot of kids that really struggle when things get tough and go bad. So one of our goals we always meet in the hotel, you know, the night before the tournament starts and just kind of go over the goals and that kind of stuff. And one we have every year is to not lose 2 matches in a row, just to kind of stress the importance of being able to bounce back after you do lose. Because very rarely do you have a kid that wins the state title. So they go the whole tournament without losing a match. So there's a good percent chance that your kid's going to have a loss somewhere, and then how they bounce back. You know, we talked about the team totals earlier. At the end of the tournament, you look up there and you're a match away from moving up, moving down, whatever it was. So we really stress how important each match is and how each point that you can pick up for the team is huge for us.
You know, you talk about not losing 2 in a row. The sexy word that we talk about all the time here is analytics. Like, do the analytics say if you lose 2 in a row, the chances of losing that match go up astronomically, or do you look into that sort of thing too much at all, or it's like, hey, we're going to 10, or we're going to 6 here?
Yeah, I don't use a lot of analytics with tennis. I've seen some good stuff, you know, on Twitter or X or whatever. The one we talked about a lot, I think Roger Federer talked about, and I might have talked about it on the show again, but he only won like 54% of his total points or total points, I think, throughout his career. You know, his match win percentage was probably 85 to 90%, maybe 80%, but point-wise, he only won 54% of his points. So you're going to lose points. You're going to lose games. Try to just flush it. Try not to worry about the what happened in the past, just next point mentality we're always talking about, and just try to play the next point to the best of your ability. Like I said, though, that's the toughest, as a coach, that's the toughest thing we deal with, is getting kids' mind right for the next point. There's too much thinking about the past and not about what's coming next.
For sure. And, you know, speaking of looking forward, you know, you coach multiple sports, right? I mean, do you coach football as well?
Yep.
Yeah, you coach football, and you go right into, you're coaching JV basketball, and then here for tennis. So is it difficult for you at all to just kind of, all right, moving on to the next sport? How do you kind of juggle all that?
The transition from tennis to, or from basketball to tennis can get difficult at times because it's not much time off. If we make the state tournament in basketball, it overlaps a week.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times in the past I've missed a couple of the first tennis practices, you know, when we're at the state tournament. So that one's tough. I'm the seventh grade football coach, so our season's a little shorter. So we don't start until school starts, and then we're done by mid to late October. So I got a good month, at least a month before basketball, to kind of get into that frame of mind. Because obviously going from seventh grade to a high school varsity level sport, then kind of different intensity, that kind of stuff. So it's nice because, you know, in the past I've thought about going up maybe coaching assistant at the high school for football or even going to girls tennis way back when. And I've always stayed with seventh grade football, and a big part of that was just so I wasn't so busy through the year. So there is a little bit of a break. And with our seventh grade football, we don't start until school starts. So getting a couple weeks off in August is nice because my summer – I run the tennis coordinator for Parks and Rec, so that takes me through July. So making sure I get a little break in August, a little break in November, kind of keeps me sane, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we always talk about the glorification of three-sport athletes or multiple-sport athletes from the high school perspective. Why not the coaches, too? Yeah. So that's Trent Kritz for you right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So like you mentioned, for those of you that are watching on the Facebook stream, you can see the Parks and Rec shirt on right now. So that's probably what the next couple of weeks and next month and a half or so is looking like for you, right?
Yeah, next couple months is running that. Today was our first day of lessons, so kind of just running around, making sure everything's getting off to a smooth start. We have a great group of kids that are working for us. We have, you know, 14, maybe 15 if we can get AJ back. He's kind of busy, though. But 14 high school kind of tennis players or maybe some college kids who used to play tennis for us. So just really good kids that work for us that do all the instructing for us. Once it gets going here in the next few days, June is somewhat slow, you know, once we get into a routine. And then we get really busy again in July. We have our three tournaments in July, so July ramps back up a little bit.
Going back to looking at your season, you know, you talked about kind of AJ Prane. He's been a guy that's been with your program since he was a freshman, and now you see him just continue kind of grow up before your very eyes. You know, what was that like? Obviously, he didn't. You know, he was sick there at the state tournament, as you mentioned, forward probably wanted to finish stronger there, but just kind of every year he was there for you and came up big.
Yeah, he's just a great kid. Awesome competitor, good tennis player, but just a better kid. He's been our captain the last couple of years, been our Spirit of the Eagle, which is our big award that's voted on by our kids. Just, he's one of the better leaders I've coached, and I've been around coaching for 24 years now and 13 as the head tennis, and he's one of the best ones we've had. It's just leadership. He gets along with everybody. He's well respected throughout the state. We actually won the sportsmanship award, and we've won it three of the last four in the last 2 years, and I think he's a huge part of it because everybody across the state likes him, all the coaches, all the players, and not just him, you know, Mason, Micah, some of our seniors, Gustavo fit in really well with kind of the tennis community. So just a really good group of kids, but AJ was definitely kind of our leader here the last few years. So he's going to be a big loss, especially, you know, anytime you lose your number one, that's a huge hit because everybody else has to bump up. But kind of the intangibles, the leadership, the off-the-court stuff will even be bigger loss for us.
What makes a good leader in your eyes?
You know, a lot of it, just do they have the respect of the of their teammates. A lot of it's just natural. Some people are born with it, some aren't, but a lot of it is they have to do the right things. Do they carry themselves the right way? Are they respected from the people they're trying to lead? Okay, if they're people aren't going to follow a kid who, you know, cuts corners or doesn't do things the right way. So if they do things the right way, treat people with respect, that's kind of going to be the start of it. And then once you get the respect of your teammates, that kind of stuff, then you can kind of build on your leadership. And he's done a good job of that. Just always kind of, he's kind of our guy who always talks, whether he's the go-between between me and the team and that kind of stuff. But it all starts with the respect, having to have the respect of your teammates.
You play a lot of tennis then, or you, when you get out, or is it like a hobby, or are you more of a pickleball guy?
I used to play a lot of tennis, obviously in my younger days. Probably up until 25 or 30, I played a lot of tennis. Last 10 years, I have not. I'll get in and play some doubles at practice a little bit, but
sure.
Kind of made the old man transition from tennis to golf, so that's kind of my main summer hobby, so I've gone with that. A lot easier on the body.
For sure.
Yeah, we're playing golf on Friday with the Northern State football one, so we'll see how we'll see how we do. We got a ringer on our team now.
We got
the head pro over at Moccasin Creek. We got Mr. Morgan on our squad.
He'll help.
I think so. I think he's going to help us out, and he's probably going to teach me a thing or two about, you know, the way you talk about how you carry yourself and this and that. I just finished my Dick Enberg book over the weekend. He used to do tennis on NBC.
Yep.
Was there any John McEnroes out there, anything like that? You don't have to get into names or anything like that, but are there some high school kids around the state that are not necessarily hotheads, but...
Nothing to that level, but there's definitely some that, you know, you would like to beat, you know, or
sure.
You like when your kid comes out on top. But no, it's not too bad. In South Dakota, kids are pretty well behaved.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see that being a problem.
No throwing the racket.
Yeah. No throwing the racket, no breaking rackets, those sorts of things. I think we're doing just fine there. Well, appreciate you popping in studio. Good luck with the summertime fun. Is there still an opportunity to sign up for some of these, not camps, but these programs and lessons and what have you?
Absolutely. I think the online registration's probably closed. I know, but if you call in the next day or two to Parks and Rec, they'll get you into some lessons or leagues. We've had all kinds of opportunities for kids to be playing in the summer, so it would be good if we get even more kids out there. So, yeah, absolutely. Call in Parks and Rec, and they'll get you into a lesson.
All right, perfect. Trent Kurtz, good to see you as always.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Our pleasure, absolutely. Trent Kurtz, head coach of the Aberdeen Central Tennis Squad, joining us on FSA. We'll talk about some high school track and field after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. High school track and field, that season is officially in the books. Oh, by the way, point of order here, high school golf action today and tomorrow. You got the state tournaments wrapping up for high school girls in AA, single A, and B, as well as the boys B there
okay.
as well. So it's just the boys B on that side of things that's going on down south today there in Sioux Falls, as well as Watertown and down in Madison there too. So a couple things to keep your eye out for. High school track and field, Aberdeen Central collectively out of 19 teams would finish in 8th place for the girls, and they would finish in 9th place out of 19 teams for the boys. You had Maya Arampatsis winning the 100-meter hurdles. And like we mentioned on Friday, Taryn Hermanson winning the shot put there on Thursday. But again, very solid results there from the Golden Eagles on the track and field side of things.
Yeah, they really had a nice season, and we talked about how impressive Hermanson was there with the shot put, but Arampatsis is doing her thing as well. Really nice season for Aberdeen Central on the track and field side of things, and that's what it's all about. You want to perform your best, and you know, feel bad for a guy like Prane on the tennis side because he didn't. He's a senior. You want to see athletes perform their best in the biggest stage there at the state tournament.
Sioux Falls Christian, yeah, no, to your point, absolutely, and that's exactly what Sioux Falls Christian did for the boys and girls. They swept the board in Class A. Individual highlights can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com.
I also saw on X Ella Bucklehide from Northwestern,
yes.
The Triple Crown. I mean, that's pretty impressive, 800, 16, and 32 meters. 3,200, that's a pretty impressive. Huh?
That's Macy Hines territory.
Is it okay?
Yeah, that's getting pretty close to Macy Hines territory because I think Macy won she won all of them.
Wow.
Back in the day. I think that might have been her either junior or senior year of high school. Of course, now she coaches at Northern State. So Ella Bucklehide, to your point, was phenomenal. It's like, hey, Macy Hines is over there like, hold my Gatorade, because she did a thing or two back in the day when she used to perform there at Ipswich. But, yeah, to your point, Ella Buckelhyde was outstanding. She won the 800, 1600, and 3200-meter runs there, I think almost single-handedly putting Northwestern in a pretty good spot there as a squad, sitting in eighth place out of 42 teams. And, you know, you're gaining some points there from her.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that just – I saw that over the weekend. I just couldn't believe how impressive that is.
That's really, really impressive indeed. And speaking of impressive, I saw Ryan Deal tweet this out on X. Big shout-out to Bennett County. They won the Class B state championship on the girls' side of things. Of course, they did that in basketball, too. And they are the first team to win a girls' basketball state title as well as a track and field title in the same year since 1983, since Armour did it. Since Armour. Not Trip Down on Armour. Not TDA. Since Armour did it in 1983.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
That is really impressive. And it just goes to show multi-sport athletes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the prime example. That's impressive. I mean, just you see this going down the line. You see different athletes win a certain event, and you're like, how? How is this even possible? And it's amazing. Big shout-out to all these athletes and these teams. You know, they work their tails off throughout the season to be in the position that they're in at the end of the year.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd's always like, they don't have any players. It's like, well, that's who Bennett County has. They've got players. They've got athletes. Dylan Hofer for Aberdeen Christian won the triple jump. Rasmus Loken of Ipswich won the pole vault. Big shout-out to Spencer Melius of Falkton. He won the 100-meter and 300-meter hurdles and the javelin, too. He is a player. Speaking of Cowherd, he's coming up at the top of the hour on FSA.